Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It's been good to be here this morning, and we probably have enough to go on for the rest of the day and the week already. But I'm glad to be here this morning. It's good to be among you folks again. I always feel at home here. A lot of friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. This morning, I entitled my message simply, Roots. Last spring, early in the spring before the leaves came out, I had two trees in the back of my lot that I wanted to cut down. They were gum trees. Now, I don't know if you have gum trees up here or not. These aren't trees that grow chewing gum, but they're kind of a weed tree, and I wanted to cut them down. So I cut them down. They were probably 40 or 50 feet tall. Left a stump in the ground, and later on in the spring and summer, as the grass grew and things started blossoming out, I noticed out there a row of little green shoots, and I thought, well, what in the world's growing out there? And I went out, and the roots from that stump had, you know, were spread out around it, a little bit above the ground, and along those roots were little green shoots. And I guess if they had grown to maturity, they'd become trees too. And I thought that was kind of fascinating. There was still life there, even though I had cut the tree down. And then I had to think, each one of us has roots. You know, we get together, especially, and I think other people do that too. Us Mennonites, we like to make connection. You know, oh, you're from so-and-so. Well, do you know so-and-so? Oh, you know, we might be related. Some of our roots go back to Germany and Switzerland and Norway and who knows where all. And here we sit here this morning, and each individual is different because we come from different roots. And I know when I was growing up, I was a little blonde-headed cotton top. They used to call me cotton top. I didn't like that. And I looked at the boys that had dark hair and were good looking and had a lot of friends, and I was jealous of them. But you know, I had to come to the place where I was okay with that. That was in my roots, and that's the way I was. And I thought it'd be kind of nice sometime just to buy some black hair coloring and see what I look like with black hair. But I never did that. And so we are a result of our roots. We have different features, different colors of hair, different ways of doing things. I'd like you to turn with me to Hebrews 12. I'm going to talk about, enlarge a bit, on one root this morning, and it's mentioned in Hebrews 12. I'm going to read the first 16 verses. And I'd like you to follow along if you would. Dayton, or someone mentioned this morning about those warriors of faith that lived in faith in chapter 11. And chapter 12 starts out, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us and who gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastising for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man follow the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. The root I want to talk about this morning is bitterness. And when William asked me to share in a message this morning, I wasn't sure what the Lord had for me. And when this came to me, I said, I don't know about this. I don't like the word bitterness. But we have a warning here. We have admonition to follow peace with all men and holiness. That's a high calling, peace and holiness. You look around you. Do you have peace with everybody around you? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love the guy next to you? Do you love your wife, your husband? And holiness. We won't see the Lord without holiness. But then he gives a warning, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'd like to turn back into the Old Testament and look at a few examples of how bitterness works. Genesis 4, we have the story of Cain and Abel, and we're familiar with that story. Adam and Eve had been driven out of the Garden of Eden because they had disobeyed the Lord. They had done something that they weren't supposed to do. And God had to drive them out of a perfect place because now they were imperfect. And Adam and Eve had two boys, Cain and Abel, two brothers. And, you know, not all brothers are alike. I grew up in a family with six boys. And we had similarities, but no two of us were alike. Cain was a farmer. He tilled the ground. He grew crops. Abel was a herdsman, and he took care of animals, the flocks. And somewhere along the line, they realized they needed to offer an offering unto the Lord. I don't know just where that came in or what prompted them to do this. Well, Abel brought a firstling of the flock. Naturally, that would be what he would bring. Cain brought his offering, which was from the crops. Now, was there anything wrong with that? Evidently, they knew what God would accept. I don't know if Cain knew or not, but I kind of have a feeling maybe he did. Because we see his attitude later was just pretty rotten. But anyway, God did not have respect for Cain's offering. And Cain was downcast and very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you wroth? Why are you mad? Why is your countenance fallen? If you have done well, won't you be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And this is why I feel Cain knew better. But he said, why do I want to go out here and spend my money and buy an animal and offer it? I'll just bring some of my crops. And Cain talked with his brother Abel and rose up against him and slew him. Cain had a bitter spirit, and it resulted in murder. killing his brother Abel. And the Lord came unto Cain again and said, "Where is Abel?" "I don't know. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" A careless attitude, a no caring attitude, another result of bitterness, the root of bitterness. God said, "What have you done? Your brother's blood calls from the ground. And now thou art cursed." And Cain says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. And thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth." And so Cain was driven out. He was afraid that people that found him would kill him. And God did put a mark on him. Could Cain have repented? I believe he could have. I believe he could have said, "I've made a mistake. Abel, you did the right thing. Maybe God can forgive me." But he didn't. He had a bitter spirit, and it resulted in hatred and murder of his brother. What a difference it would have made if he could have dealt with that bitterness in a proper way. We go to Genesis 25, and we have the story of Esau, and that was mentioned in our reading from Hebrews. Esau sold his birthright. He was hungry. Jacob offered something to him. He said, "Sell me the birthright." And here was two brothers again, Esau and Jacob, twin brothers. And maybe Jacob wasn't right in doing this scheming and conniving. But Esau said, "Well, if I don't get anything to eat, I'm going to die anyway. What good is my birthright to me?" So he says, "Okay, you can have the birthright." And later on we find that Esau was bitter. And he didn't kill Jacob. He wanted to, but Jacob escaped. Jacob's mother found out and said, "You better get out of here." And so we see that the hatred and the murder in his heart came from the root of bitterness that sprang up within him. And then I had to think of another person over in the book of Job. I recently read through the book of Job, and I found it to be very fascinating and interesting. It gives us a little glimpse of what goes on in the heavenlies. Does this happen today? I believe it does. I believe God allows us to be tempted, to be chastened. He allowed Job to be chastened. He allowed Job's possessions to be destroyed. He had 11,000 animals, if you add them up. He had 10 children, all well and healthy. And till Satan got done with his work, he had no animals, he had no children, and his body was a mess. He was covered with boils. Now, I don't know if you ever had a boil or not. I remember having one when I was a child on my arm here. It's painful. It'll ooze pus. But he had them all over his body. I don't know what you wives would think if your husband was in that shape. All the children gone. All his business endeavors evaporated. Job's wife said to him, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." She was bitter. I believe that came from a root of bitterness. What in the world is going on? Where is God anyway? Just curse God and die. She probably couldn't hardly look at him. He was such a mess. Probably smelled bad too. But in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. He said, "The Lord gave it to me. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." While his wife spoke curses and rejected him, Job was blessing the Lord. Can we do the same in dire circumstances? You know, when I found out that my wife was diagnosed with cancer again, I had to deal with some bitterness. I wanted to be bitter about it because I didn't want to face that again. And I thought, isn't it my turn to have cancer? This is her third time having cancer. Why us? What's going on? Now, I could have let that bitterness take root in my life. I'm glad I didn't. The Lord dealt with me, and my wife had an attitude, why not us? Why not me? But that is, you know, things happen in our lives, and sometimes we have to deal with bitterness that wants to crop up. And so I was able to, with her help and with the Lord's help, to deal with that, to accept it, and to give it all to the Lord. And I'm thankful today that that experience has done me a lot of good. It's drawn me closer to the Lord, and that's where I want to be. I don't want to be bitter, because bitterness, the results of bitterness is so many things. Hebrews 12 says, the root of bitterness will trouble you. We don't say the root of fear or the root of anger, but it's the root of bitterness from which anger and fear comes. It can be like a tree. We don't always see the root. But a lot of these things spring from the root of bitterness. Do you have an anger problem? Check the root. Do you have a fear problem? Check the root. Do you want to withdraw from others, not associate with others? Why? Check the root. It's easy to talk about surface things and never get to the heart or root of the problem. Things go good for a while and then they blow up. What's going on? And we wonder. It might be a root of bitterness. And then in Acts 8 we have the story of Simon, who tried to use his earthly wisdom and money to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes maybe we try to do that. We try to buy our way or work our way into God's favor. But Peter told Simon, you are in the gall of bitterness. You need to repent of your wickedness and pray to God. Perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And we find that Simon asked Peter to pray for it. That was a proper response. And I suppose Simon didn't quite get everything quite right, but he responded with asking for prayer. And I think that's a good response. We need to pray one for another in the brotherhood. We need to encourage one another. We need to love one another. I'd like to turn back to James 3. Starting with verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Wisdom of the earth and wisdom from above is contrasted here. And James uses some pretty strong language. Earthly, sensual, devilish. That's strong language. But the wisdom of this earth does not accomplish the righteousness of God. And so we need to have, it results in bitter envying. It results in strife. And I wonder sometimes if the troubles in our churches isn't the result of bitterness in people's hearts sometimes. Just give that as a thought. Wisdom from above is pure, It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. How easy are you to be entreated? You know, when someone comes to you and wants to talk to you about something, are you open? Are you willing? You know, if you have the wisdom from above, you say, okay, what do you want to talk about? Easy to be entreated. I like that. Full of mercy and good fruits. You know, you read through that and say, well, everybody in the church is supposed to be that way. That's right. But it doesn't always happen that way. We know in real life that sometimes there's envy, there's strife, and there are deeper things to be taken care of, so that doesn't happen. And then on down in chapter 4, James continues with the remedy for cleansing our lives. So we need to take care of the root of bitterness. We need to cleanse our lives. And down in I'll start with verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So we have a number of things talked about here. I like the thought of drawing near to God, and he will draw near to you. You know, that's something that James says we need to do. You need to act on your part. You need to come near to God. How much time do you take to fall before the Lord, to read his word, to pray to him? And that's very important. You know, we get busy in life, don't we? We have our work, we have our hobbies, we have our things to do. God wants us to draw near so he can talk to us. He wants us to cleanse our lives. And I know for myself, I need that cleansing. Sometimes my mind gets cluttered. Sometimes thoughts come into my mind that shouldn't be there. And so we need to cleanse that out, and we do it by drawing near to God. We need to purify our hearts. Be double-minded. Anybody here double-minded this morning? If you are, you need to be single-minded to serve the Lord. And then we need to humble ourselves. You know, we tend to be proud, don't we? We tend to look at our accomplishments, look what I've done, look in the mirror and say, boy, you're pretty good looking. We tend to be proud. James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord will lift you up. Let the Lord take care of the lifting up. You humble yourself. In Romans 11, it talks about being grafted in to the good vine, Jesus Christ. Israel was God's chosen people, but Israel turned away from the Lord, and God had to cast them off. But it says over there in Hebrews 11 that they can be grafted back into Jesus Christ. They can be grafted back into the church. And it says the wild branches, which are the Gentiles, you and me, can also be grafted in. I don't know if any of you do any grafting with trees or not, but my father used to do that with the apple trees, to get different kinds of apples and cross them with different species of apples. And so we can be grafted into Jesus Christ. And he is then the root of our life. And his life flows into our life and flows out into the work that he wants us to do. And so now he bears fruit through us as we abide in him. Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you, and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I'd like to turn to Ephesians 3. Starting with verse 14. How am I rooted? What am I rooted to this morning? Sometimes we take care of just the surface stuff and don't get to the root, and then it pops up again. But these verses bring out some very good thoughts. And I'd like to just read down through verse 21, 14 through 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that was all one sentence. I don't know, you grammar students can take that and diagram it if you want. But anyway, the whole family in heaven, the church, God's children, God's universal church, is named for the Lord Jesus Christ to grant you the glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. It's God's Spirit that strengthens us, that we can be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. That's where we want to be rooted. And nothing can shake us. You look back over the history of the church. We sang the song, Faith of Our Fathers. You know, you read the history of the church, the history of the martyrs. Nothing could shake them. And I look at some of the things that were done to some of those people. I say, how could they stand it? They were rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Nothing could shake them. What about my life? What about your life? Where are your roots? That we may be able to comprehend or understand with all the saints. There's the church, the body of Christ. The length, the height, and the depth. And to know the love of Christ. And then verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I like the wording there. It doesn't just say to him that is able to do all that we can ask or think, but exceeding abundantly. The writer here uses some very descriptive words to get across what he's saying. God can provide everything for us in abundance, exceeding abundance. And then unto him be glory in the church. The church is to glorify Christ Jesus, to lift him up. And I trust the church here is doing that, not just when we sit together on Sunday morning, but as you go throughout the community, as you go to your workplace, as you go up and down the road, and you go into places of business, do people know who you are? Are you holding forth the word of truth? Are you rooted and grounded in the love of Christ? So I trust this morning that as we have been here, we have glean something that is good for us. It's been good for me to study on this. A lot more could be said. But I hope it'll pick your interest and go into the scriptures and find what the Word of God has for you this morning. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the examples from the past that we can learn from. We thank you, Lord, that you have made it possible for us to be cleansed through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, that we do not need to be rooted in bitterness, but be rooted in the love of Christ. Bless this congregation, Lord. Supply the needs that are present. And Lord, help us to build our lives on Christ Jesus and to be a shining light wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.